A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. The path of life leads upward for the wise, that he may keep away from Sheol below. The Lord will tear down the house of the proud, but he will establish the boundary of the widow. Evil plans are an abomination to the Lord, but pleasant words are pure. He who profits illicitly troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Bright eyes gladden the heart. Good news puts fat on the bones. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. And then James 4, 7 through 10. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning, and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. You may be seated. Let's pray. Oh Lord, Lord, we come before you this morning. Lord, we need your instruction. We need reminded of your truth. Lord, we love you. We thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we look at it now, that you would teach us. Lord, I pray that my sin and my error would not be thought of or held on to, but that your word and your truth would shine forth. I pray you would protect these people from my sin, from my error. We just ask, Lord, that you would teach us, that you would humble us, that you would make us more like Christ, that we would bring glory to you. Thank you for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this message this morning is really nothing new. It's not going to surprise you. The title is that the Christian life is a struggle, but we must not waver. You see, life is a struggle, isn't it? In many different areas. You think of relationships and all the struggles that we have. You know, have you ever been in a relationship where you just try so hard to treat them right, and yet it just seems like it never does any good? There's just this constant struggle. And there's times where we know how we should treat other people, but because of how they're treating us, we just have this great struggle. Because our flesh wants to react in a sinful way, and yet we know that's not what we should do. Or concerning sin and temptations. Have you ever been tempted by sin? And so you take precautions to guard against it. And yet, years later, you still struggle with the same temptations. So the Christian life is a struggle. It isn't easy. It's hard. You see, God is changing our desires so that we want to live rightly before Him. And yet, at the same time, we still have that sin nature. Our flesh still wants to live how it wants to live. And so we struggle. And at times in this struggle, we can grow weary, can't we? We get tired of this constant battle in different areas of life. And sometimes we can doubt. We can have times when we doubt that doing the right thing is really going to matter. It's really going to, sometimes we want to focus on the outcome. And we say, boy, we just doubt that it's going to change, that it's going to get any better. But take courage, because God knows that the Christian life is full of struggles. And He has given us many instructions concerning these struggles. Just listen, one passage. Just listen to Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. It says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." So as we go through Proverbs this morning, it's my prayer that God would remove any doubts that we may have about doing what is right. Any doubts that we may have about living life God's way. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would be at work, teaching us, convincing us of the truths that we see here in Proverbs. You see, Proverbs is full of constant reminders, lots of repetition. The words that we speak, constantly an issue in Proverbs. Receiving correction, relationships. So many different areas we see over and over we're taught these truths in Scripture. And so as we go through them this morning, may we understand the importance. God isn't giving us these instructions for no reason. This is so important. Yes, we will struggle. But be encouraged. Stand firm. This is very important. So may we take the Proverbs to heart. So this morning, we will begin with verse 23 because I skipped it last time. And then we'll go on to 28 through the rest of the chapter. So let's begin with 23. Words that bring great joy and delight. Verse 23 says, "A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word." You see, this verse speaks of the power of the tongue. And not just the power of the tongue, but the power of the tongue for good. We know that there is great power in the words that we speak. We can tear down, we can hurt people. At the same time, we can bless people. We can speak what's right. We can bring joy and delight. So let's not underestimate the importance of choosing our words carefully. Some of the greatest gifts in life, some of the most beneficial gifts, most enjoyable gifts, come by way of spoken words. What joy and delight can come through words. And so we see in this verse, the words that are specifically mentioned here that bring joy and delight. We see that it is an apt answer, a timely word. Now, apt is fit or suitable. An apt answer is a right answer. It's speaking what is right and fitting for the question. It's what is appropriate for the situation, which is also very similar to a timely word, which is simply what is spoken at the right time, perfect timing in what needed to be said. So there are many right things that you could say, but just because something is true and right doesn't mean now's the time to say it. So timing is a big deal as well. So there's great joy in speaking and hearing what is right at just the right time. Now, what's interesting to me, a little bit surprising too, is, you know, when I think about words that bring joy and delight, I tend to think of words that we specifically were really trying to build someone up, to encourage them. We're really trying to meet their need of the moment. And yet, isn't it interesting that here we see it's simply speaking words that are true. Speak the truth. Speak what is right and fitting. And there is great joy and delight in simply saying what's right at the right time. Now, this joy and delight, I believe, can be shared in by both the one speaking and the one hearing. How enjoyable it is when we speak what is right at just the right time. Now, I'm sure we've experienced this. We've been in conversations, and at times we're not even really trying to do this, but an issue comes up and we speak the truth. We just say what's right. And God uses that to meet the needs of the person that we're visiting with, to encourage them. And it brings great joy to have simply said what's right, to speak the truth in love. So this verse teaches us that one of the great ways that we can honor the Lord with our speech and be a blessing to each other is to simply speak what is right, what is fitting in every circumstance. A man has joy in an apt answer, and how delightful is a timely word. Verse 28, our heart restrains our mouth. Verse 28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Here we see more instructions on how we should speak, and we see the effects that our heart has on the words that we speak. And we see that this is a struggle. So the first thing that you may notice in this verse is the connection between the heart and the mouth. You see, the mouth speaks from that which overflows from the heart. And so we need to first understand that the words that we speak are a reflection of our heart's condition. Here in this verse we see that the righteous and the wicked speak differently, of course, because of their heart's condition. The wicked have evil hearts, while the righteous have had their hearts changed by Christ. And it certainly does change how we talk. So let's consider the first half of the verse. The heart of the righteous ponders how to answer. You see, we have many things to think about now. Before, we could just speak. But now, we have things to consider before we open our mouth. And this is really where the struggle is. You see, because I truly love others, before I speak, I want to consider, is this going to be a blessing to those who hear it? Or am I just speaking from my flesh, speaking sinful, selfish thoughts? You see, it's not so much that I want my words to sound good as much as that I want my words to be good. And so we see that the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, because the righteous want to make sure that they're speaking what is good. So we also see here that the heart of the righteous is not yet perfect. Otherwise, there would be no struggle. There would be no need to ponder. We could just open our mouth and it would just flow with what is right and good. Wouldn't that be wonderful? I'm looking forward to that day. But for now, there's a struggle. And so we need to ponder. We need to ponder. We need to consider carefully the words that we speak, so that we might restrain our lips from speaking evil and speak good instead. So the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the second half of the verse, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Here we see two main differences between what the wicked and the righteous speak. First of all, the wicked does not stop to ponder. You see, the wicked does not have that righteous restraint on his lips. He does not have the same struggle that the righteous does. His mouth just flows freely. It just pours out. You see, there's no great filter of conviction for the wicked. There's not that great struggle within about what to say. So he just speaks freely from that which fills his heart. The other main difference is what is coming out of the mouth. It's evil. It's wicked. And it's flowing out. It's lies. It's deceit. Scoffing, mocking. Anything inappropriate and shameful to talk about. So the righteous man considers carefully what to say. He ponders. He's making sure to say good things, while the wicked man is not careful what he says. He is letting the evil from his heart flow out of his mouth. So the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. So you see, we must press on. This is just another one of those struggles. We must continue to ponder what to say. Continue to struggle through choosing our words carefully. So verse 29, help is near for the righteous. Verse 29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Now this verse does speak of God hearing our prayers. But I believe the main point is much more than that God simply hears us when we pray. The main point of this verse is to reassure us, to comfort us, to remind us that God is near, that help is never far away. The Lord is far from the wicked. Now, this far that is spoken of here is not referring to distance. It is not that the wicked are just too far of a distance away that God just can't hear their cry for help. You see, it is in the sense of relationship. The Lord is far from the wicked. The Lord is not close. He is not intimate with the wicked. You see, the relationship between God and the wicked is a distant relationship. God is opposed to the wicked, and the wicked are opposed to God. They are at odds with each other. There is no sweet fellowship there, no communion. The wicked have rebelled against God. They have refused to listen to the voice of the Lord. And so, when they find themselves in a world of trouble, and they cry out to God for help, it will be as though he cannot hear them. He will not help them. Turn with me, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 1. Just listen to how this is described there. Proverbs 1, we'll start in verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you, because I called and you refused. I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind. When distress and anguish come on you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely, and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. So the wicked, those who would not fear the Lord, who would not accept his counsel, but spurned all his reproof, they will not find help when distress comes, because they rejected God's ways. They went their own way, and they will be forced to eat the fruit of their own way. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. God is not at a distance from the righteous. God knows the righteous. He is close to the righteous. He is in communion. He helps us. He is near to us. The last verse in Proverbs 1, we just read, verse 33. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. You see, that's exactly what we're taught here in Proverbs 15. Christians take comfort in the Lord, knowing that he is near. He loves you. He will help you. But you know what happens when we neglect to draw near to God? You see, we lose our focus. It changes from heavenly things to earthly things. And we quickly find ourselves worrying about all the uncertainties of life. And we begin doubting. We begin leaning on our own understanding instead of trusting the Lord, instead of taking comfort in him. So you see, God doesn't just hear the prayers of the righteous, but he is near. He is near us. He is watching. He is listening. He is guarding and protecting. He loves us. He's helping us. So may we continue to draw near to God. And may we not be worried or alarmed at all of the uncertainties of life, but rather we should take comfort in God. He's right there. He is with us all along the way. So may we hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, never forgetting that God is there. God is near. He is close to the righteous. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Verse 30, Hope. What a blessing. Verse 30. Bright eyes gladden the heart. Good news puts fat on the bones. This verse, I believe, is speaking of the hope and enjoyment that we can have through seeing and hearing what is good. You see, it's easy for us to understand that when we're hungry and we eat good food, we're satisfied. And that's similar to what this verse is teaching us, except it's much greater than that. You see, this nourishment and encouragement and hope is for our soul. It isn't just meeting the needs of our flesh, but it's meeting our deeper needs of our soul, our spiritual needs. So when our eyes see what is good and our ears hear what is good, it's encouraging. It's strengthening. You see, fat on the bones is a good thing. It's not something we try to avoid to be healthy. It's actually the opposite. So you see, when I hear of the promises of God, or I hear of God's faithfulness to Abraham, or God's faithfulness in your lives, my soul rejoices. It's wonderful. It makes my soul glad. It gives me more hope. And when I see you walking in obedience, walking by faith and not by sight, again, it thrills my soul. It puts fat on the bones of my heart. It's such a blessing. Nourishment. What a blessing of nourishment God gives our souls through seeing and hearing what is truly good. Bright eyes gladden the heart. Good news puts fat on the bones. Verse 31, listen to reproof and dwell with God's people. 31, he whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. We see in this verse some of the effects that Christ has in a believer's life. Okay, he corrects us, and he gives us help in following him. So we see two characteristics of those who have been chosen by God. Number one, they listen to life-giving reproof. They listen to correction. They receive correction. They embrace it. They're so thankful for it. But it doesn't stop there. You see, for the Christian, this is just the beginning. And knowing that we're going to continue to need corrected, aren't we? You see, Proverbs 9:9 says, give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase his learning. You see, the wise man still needs taught. The righteous man still needs corrected. The second half of the verse says that they will dwell among the wise. What a blessing. You see, God doesn't just cause us to hate our sin and correct us and then give us nothing else to help us along the way. Nothing else to help us continue to bring us back, continue to correct our error. But he gives us fellow believers to help us. He gives us brothers and sisters in the faith that are mature, that set a good example for us. You see, God knows that the Christian life is a struggle. He knows that we will continue to struggle with sin. And so, we will continue to need correction. to be shown the error of our ways. So the Christian does not only listen to reproof once, but they continue, and they dwell among the wise. This is a great place to be. You see, they want to be with those who will continue to correct them, and so they dwell among the wise. God's people listen to correction, and they dwell with God's people. Now, I don't believe that this is a stretch at all to apply this verse to the local church. You see, those whom Christ has saved are not left to try to continue this struggle alone. God has a better plan. We need to dwell among the wise. We need to be a part of a local church for our good and for His glory. We have so much to gain from each other. So let's not underestimate all that God is doing in our lives as we dwell with the wise. And may our hearts be grateful that God has not left us in our sin, nor has He left us to follow Him alone. He whose ear listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. Verse 32, listen to reproof and be blessed. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. This verse speaks of the great blessings that only come through correction. And it speaks of the foolishness of those who reject correction. He who neglects discipline despises himself. We see first off the foolishness of those who refuse to be taught. This is the man who chooses comfort and indulgence for today rather than security and stability for the future. He refuses to embrace the struggles of discipline and instead chooses the easiest way possible. But we see here in this verse that he really isn't doing himself any favors, is he? It says, he who neglects discipline despises himself. You see, he is rejecting a true blessing. He is showing that he doesn't care about himself. He is a self-destructive sinner. He loves his flesh, but he hates and he neglects his soul. He lives a life of self-destruction because the one thing he needs the most to be corrected and shown the error of his way, he won't have anything to do with. Second half of the verse, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. He who humbles himself and receives correction is blessed. He's the opposite of the first man. You see, he does not sacrifice his soul for the sake of fleshly comforts, but he sacrifices fleshly comforts for the sake of his soul. And yes, his pride will suffer, but his soul will flourish. You see, he embraces the struggles of the Christian life. So he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. Again, what a blessing. Those who receive correction will acquire understanding. So may our focus and our priorities be on eternal things, things of the soul. We must listen to reproof. We must. And we will be blessed. He who neglects discipline despises himself, but he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. Verse 33, the fear of God is key. Verse 33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. Here we see once again how foundational a right relationship with the Lord is. And we see here how foundational it is for growth in wisdom. Now, you remember from Proverbs 1:7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But it isn't just the beginning. You see, the fear of the Lord is necessary all along the way. This relationship, this right relationship with the Lord, it's necessary for all stages of growth in wisdom and instruction. So the fear of the Lord is to have a right relationship with God, to have a reverence for God, to live in awe of Him, to love Him and obey Him. And we see this all the time, but foolish men reject this, don't they? You see, man's wisdom wants to try to disconnect wisdom from the all-wise God. And so foolish men, intelligent men, think that they can bypass this step, that they can gain wisdom apart from God. But that is the foolishness of man's wisdom. And the outcome is the opposite of what we see here in the second half of the verse, which I'll explain in a minute. You see, true wisdom only comes through having a right relationship with Jesus Christ. We must fear God. And the wisdom that is from God produces humility. Man's wisdom produces pride. Man in his sinfulness is not humbling himself. He is puffed up with all of his head knowledge. And instead of humbling himself, he wants to exalt himself. He wants to honor himself. But through the fear of God, we are instructed in wisdom, and it humbles us. Now, I'm sure you've experienced this. This happens to me, where you learn something new. Maybe you've been studying or reading God's Word, and you come across this, and maybe it's not new, but you just never thought of it in that light before, and you just realize, oh, you see, you're gaining wisdom. You're learning about God, and as you learn this, it's so humbling. Because as you learn it, you realize this is just a tiny part of who God is and His wisdom. You see, there's no puffing up. It's not, oh wow, listen to what I learned. I mean, I'm a genius. No. It's, oh my, fall on my face before God. I mean, I just got another glimpse, you know, of who God is and His wisdom. And I realize my position. I need to be on my face. And so, remember, the fear of God is key. You can't grow in wisdom and instruction apart from God and having a right relationship with Him. The fear of the Lord is the instruction for wisdom, and before honor comes humility. So understand, brothers and sisters, that He who called you is faithful. All of your efforts, your diligence, your sacrifices, your discipline is for God's glory and for your good. Life is difficult. It is a struggle. And as we consider the many struggles of the Christian life, may we also be reminded of Christ. The great struggles that Christ dealt with for our sake. And so, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. He who promised is faithful. Let's pray. O Lord, you are so faithful. Lord, we do struggle. But what a blessing, what an encouragement to know that you are near, that you are meeting those needs that we have, and that you are going to meet the needs that we have in the future. Oh Lord, please help us not to doubt. Please help us, Lord, not to get distracted by the things of earth. Lord, help us to have an eternal perspective, that we would walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, we thank you so much that you are the all-wise God. And we thank you that you have opened our eyes and that you have given us glimpses of your wisdom, that you are teaching us true wisdom. Please humble our pride. Please keep it in check. Lord, we just thank you so much for loving us. We thank you that as you walked on this earth and you had many struggles and you were tempted in all things as we are, yet you did not sin. You did not give up, but you continued on. You held fast. Lord, we ask the same for us, that you would be at work in us, encouraging, strengthening us, that we might honor you, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.